The 126th Major League Baseball season gets underway today. The youngsters down on the farm teams will be taking their best shots to try to get to the show before it's over, while the veterans will be trying to stay there. Most players are retired by their mid-30s, but on very rare occasions, some begin their careers in the seventh inning stretch of their athletic lives. That's what happened to Jim Morris. When he was 19, Morris was a promising minor league pitcher. But after injuries and surgeries, he had to put his dreams of playing in the majors aside. He eventually became a high school baseball coach. The kids on the team made a bet with him, which led to a magical minor league tryout, which led to a trip to the mound in 1999 as a pitcher for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Jim Morris was 35 years old. He tells the story in a new book, The Oldest Rookie. In the spring of 99, Morris was giving a pep talk to his downtrodden team on a West Texas ball field. Turns out his teenaged players had a message for him.
What they wanted me to prove was something to myself that I didn't even know was there. And apparently they saw through my teaching them that I still had the love of the game in my blood and I really wanted to play even though that I thought I'd gotten it out of my system.
You were trying to inspire them to win. You wanted them to win a championship. You wanted them to be winners. And they said, what about you?
You know, they said, what about me? And it was a little talk we had down a left field line after practice one day. And as we got into it, and I was telling them to reach for their dreams and set a goal. And then once you achieve that goal, go a little bit farther and then reset your goals and keep trying to become the biggest and best person that you possibly can be. And they threw it back at me. And my catcher, Joel De La Garza, looked straight at me dead in the eye and he goes, that's good, and Coach, don't get this wrong. We love you very much, and we've talked about this, but you're telling us to reach for our dreams and have these huge goals and expectations, and you're sitting here coaching us. We want to know why you're coaching and telling us to reach for our dreams when you're sitting here coaching us and not reaching for your own dreams. And when they threw that back on me and I decided to try it, you know, we made that little proposition where if they won a district championship, I would definitely go try out for a baseball team and then get in my car and drive away as quickly as possible.
You did that. They won. You did it. There just happened to be a tryout nearby. And, you know, you sort of got your sweatpants on, you know, and your dirty old sneakers on, and you go on down to the field. And nobody really believes you're going to try out. In fact, the scout there says, yeah, all right, you know, you're going last.
Right. Actually, before that, he looked at me and asked me how many kids I had there to try out. And I said, no, let me explain something. And I started laughing, so he just kind of sat back for a second, and I explained the story to him. He goes, okay, we'll let you do this. He goes, but you are going to throw last. I love the way he approached it. He just said, we're going to let you do this. He goes, I'll even time you. And then you can tell your kid you even got clocked, and you can go home and tell him you lived up to your part of the bargain, and, you know, you were just too old. You know, when I made the bet with the kids, I knew that I had to live up to it if they won, but I didn't expect anything when I went to try out. I didn't think I threw that hard.
You were on the mound and you saw him with the radar gun in the stands and then you saw him get another radar gun. You had no idea what was going on. You thought it was broken?
I thought it was broke. I thought that maybe I wasn't throwing hard enough for it to register. And I thought, oh man, I can't even get the gun to register. That's pretty bad. And so they pulled another gun out and I started throwing again. And, you know, about 15 pitches into it, he looked up at me. He goes, you didn't throw like this 15 or 20 years ago. He goes, what's the deal? And I said, I don't know. At that point, I think I started to realize that I was doing okay. As soon as I walked off the mound, all these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids came running up to me and go, you were throwing 98 miles an hour. And I said, you're crazy. And then he said, no, you were. He goes, that's why we got another gun out, because I didn't believe the first one. And it just kind of went on from there.
What did you think your wife was going to say when you drove home that day?
Oh, exactly what she said. I walked in the door and I said, we need to talk. And I kind of explained the situation, because by the time I had gotten home in an hour and a half, I had 10 phone calls from the Devil Rays front office wanting to talk to me and talk about maybe the possibility of me signing a contract and leaving. And when I told Lori this, she said, you want to do what? Do you know how old you are? Do you know you have 3 kids? Do you know you have a wife? You have bills? We have a house? We have cars? You know, at first, it was a little bit overwhelming, just as it was to me, because I couldn't believe anybody's calling me back to play baseball at my age. After a while, the front office started calling and asking for Lori, and she'd go in the bedroom and shut the door. And she'd be in there for an hour and a half. And then, you know, after the last phone call, she came out and she looked at me and she said, Jimmy, we've always done things by faith. You've got these phone calls. She said, it's summertime. You're not working right now. Maybe God's trying to tell you that you need to try this one more time and see if it works. Maybe it'll get it out of your system. Because neither one of us really thought it would work. So I went about it, and the rest is history. 2 days later, I went back and threw the same velocity again. And 2 days later, I was in Florida getting in shape.
In shape? You were 240 pounds.
Yeah, I was a little large.
Yeah. That must have been tough. But, you know, you did it. You did it. You got on the bus. You played with the Durham Bulls. Friday, September 17th, 1999, at 10:30 in the evening, you get the call. You are going to the show. What was the moment for you once that happened? Was it seeing your uniform in the locker room? Was it getting on that bus? Was it, I don't know, hugging Jose Canseco for the first time? Was it getting on the mound in your home state of Arlington, Texas, where the first game was played against the Rangers?
This whole situation is still amazing to me. And I mean, if people look at it, they think, there's no way that happened. And it happened to me, and I still think that sometimes. But the best day of my life, other than my children being born, was the day that I did go into the locker room. I had my name on the back of a big league jersey. And then when we came out for the game, I'm in the bullpen. And at first, when Lori came down to the side of the bullpen, she was trying to get my attention. And the guys in the bullpen thought she was just another fan wanting something, a ball or something. And when they got my attention and they found out that she was my wife, they had me turn around. I turned around, and she had tears in her eyes. And then I got tears in my eyes. Then I turned around, and the guys in the bullpen had tears in their eyes. I mean, it's just been touching for everybody involved with this, and it's been the most exciting time. And then the game started. And I thought, oh, this day can't get any better than this. You've got to be kidding me. So I sat in the bullpen fully expecting just to sit there and watch the game and kind of relax and get set in and take everything in. And in the eighth inning, they told me to get up, and I thought, no way. But, you know, 5 minutes later, I was in the game. And from the moment that I stepped out of the bullpen and saw how many people were on the field actually, and the scope of how big the field looked to me at that time. And I think it took me forever to get to the mound, but as I jogged to the mound, everything seemed to focus in, it got smaller, and then I heard nothing. I didn't even hear what the coach was telling me when he put me in. I mean, I got that focused that quick, and it was amazing. And the only two things I thought were, don't balk, because I had a guy on first, Goodwin's on first, and don't throw the ball on the backstop. And that was my two main goals for after I got in the game. And, you know, Royce Clayton was the first person I faced, and I struck him out. And it was a tremendous day in my life. And it's very inspiring, and my kids all knew about it. They were all around the TV that night, and everybody's calling my cell phone and talking to me. It was a great day.
Mm. You're on the team now. You got past that initial fabulous moment with the fireworks. What shape was your head in to be a ball player at that moment? It could be easy to get carried away with all of the hoopla.
You know, that's a good point. I guess for some people it might have. If that would have happened to me when I was 21 years old and I'd have made it to the big leagues, yeah, my hat probably would not have fit. But at this point, I knew that every day that I got to stay there was a blessing from God, and I was just going to take it as it was and live one day at a time. And I never got big-headed or thought anything more than what it was. I'd been given a second chance to come back and do what I truly love since I was, basically a baby. It was a tremendous experience, and I took it for what it was worth, and it was just me getting to fulfill part of a dream. But in a bigger scope, I guess it was an inspiration to a lot of people who maybe baseball's not their dream. Maybe changing jobs and becoming a lawyer or a doctor or taking better care of your kids, whatever it might inspire somebody. If they could take that from me and put it into their own life, into their own dreams, then that was a great, great opportunity.
Now you're not playing. You're retired because of the tendonitis. I mean, all the soreness and all the pain. Do you suppress that, do you think, in pursuit of your dream?
I think I didn't allow myself to realize if I could actually do that or not, because everything was fun. It was day by day. I was throwing the ball hard, so there was no way I thought I was hurt. And I was throwing strikes, and that was a big deal. And as time went on, and I got to this spring, I don't know, something just clicked in me. And I sat back once I achieved the big league dream, and I sat there and said, now how important is this to me? And I thought, I've achieved my dream. And as you get older and more mature, sometimes your dreams may change a little bit. And basically what my dream turned into was the fact that my children were now my dream. And it was more important for me to step back at that moment once I'd achieved my dream and get back into my kids' lives and take care of my kids.
Jim Morris, his story is told in the book The Oldest Rookie, Big League Dreams from a Small Town Guy, published by Little Brown. Jim Morris joined us from the studios of KERA in Dallas. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Jim Morris appeared in 21 games over two seasons for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. His major league career totals 15 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts, 9 walks, no wins, no losses, and a 4.80 earned run average.